Well, we had a vision day in September 2019. It seems like a long time ago now. And over the intervening months, we have talked and prayed and discerned our vision statement that we believe God is calling us to be and to do. And it's this: to be living God's love in our community, in our worship, and in our prayer. And a couple of months ago, we had a team over to pray with us and tell us the things they thought God was saying to us. And I know that we've all been continuing to pray about this as individuals and as a church and a PCC. And in the coming months, as things open up more, we're going to be continuing to step into our vision that God's given us. And one way we're doing this is by moving forward with setting up Growing Hope High Wycombe, that will be based here at St. James, giving free therapy to children with additional needs and offering support to them and their families. As we step into a new vision, as with all new things, it can feel scary. And I think to help us, I thought it'd be really good to look at the example of Nehemiah, because he was someone who dared greatly and stepped into new things that God was asking him to do. And I hope this will encourage us as a church. So just as we start, a little bit of background about the situation that was happening in Jerusalem. So about 150 years before, in 587 BC, the Babylonians had sacked, they'd attacked completely demolished Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah and exiled all its citizens. But then after the Babylonians were taken over by defeated by the Persians, King Cyrus reversed that policy and allowed some Jewish groups to return to Jerusalem in 538 BC. And the first things they did were to rebuild the altar and the temple. And you can read about that in the book of Ezra. But their next concern was about making the city defensible again, because so many of the walls had been knocked down and the gates destroyed. And in 445 BC, Nehemiah comes to Jerusalem to complete this task. But what do we know about Nehemiah himself? Well, despite being in a minority as a Jew, he had risen to a prominent position as cupbearer to the Persian emperor Artaxerxes I, who was the most powerful ruler of the day. And as cupbearer, it was his duty to taste the wine from the king's cup before handing the cup personally to the king. He was sort of, it's like a personal guarantee that the wine hadn't been poisoned. So he was like a top security agent, making sure of the safety of the ruler. And also presumably by that, the safety of the whole Persian empire. So it wasn't something that would have been made lightly, his appointment to that position. He would have been chosen for his qualities of character, his eyes, his sharp intelligence, his common sense, his grasp of palace intrigue. And so Nehemiah would have known all about the wine before it was poured. He would have supervised every stage of its purchase and storage. And members of the royal staff would have been obliged to respond to his authority. So he would have been an influential figure around the palace. But what was he like as a person? Well, I think from this passage we've read today, we get a glimpse of him. He was somebody who was full of zeal for God. He delighted in revering God's name. And in the Bible, when it talks about zeal, it's not about fanaticism. It's about being humble and reverent, but really single-minded in commitment to God and to doing his will. He was also a man of prayer. And in this story, even in this passage, we can see how much his life is punctuated by prayer. It's as if he really wants his readers to understand that only ventures that are begun in prayer and bathed in prayer are going to be blessed. And he tells us about his praying in order to teach us from his own example that prayer changes things. Oh, sorry. That's the next bit. As well as that, he was also somebody who was really compassionate. He showed compassion and solidarity to the Jewish people. So although he lived very far away from them, he never lost his commitment to them and still identified and felt part of that community. And today in our culture, there's a lot of emphasis on doing things individually, isn't there? Looking after number one. But I think one of the things that I love about our vision at St. James is to be reaching out into our community and showing God's love in our community. And I think that's something that is great, because we want to show that same compassion that Nehemiah did, that compassion of Jesus as well to those around us. And lastly, Nehemiah was someone who showed himself to be humble and wise. He was very realistic about his own abilities. He knew what he could and he couldn't do. And he didn't try to take control of what he knew other people were gifted to do. Instead, he used his leadership and management gifts to the full. And we need to develop that wisdom. We need to use the resources and gifts that God has given us wisely. We're not all gifted to do everything, but amongst us, God will have given us all the gifts to do what he has called us to do. So, a little glimpse you had just then. This is a picture of the exploratory space probe Pioneer 10, which was launched by NASA in 1972, a jolly long time ago. And according to Leon Jaroff, the writer in Time magazine, the satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, to photograph the planet and its moons, and beam data to the Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field, radiation belts, and atmosphere. Scientists regarded this as a bold plan, for at that time, no Earth satellite had gone beyond Mars, and they feared that the asteroid belt could destroy it completely before it even reached its target. But Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and so much more. Swinging past the giant planet of Jupiter in November of 1973, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed towards the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. And at some 2 billion miles, it hurtled past Uranus. Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, Pluto at almost 4 billion miles. And by 1997, 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to scientists on Earth. Perhaps most remarkable, writes Jaroff, those signals emanated from an 8-watt transmitter, which radiated about as much power as a bedroom nightlight and took more than 9 hours to reach Earth. This little satellite was not qualified to do what it did. Engineers designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life of just 3 years, but it kept going and going. By simple longevity, its tiny 8-watt transmitter radio accomplished more than anyone thought possible. And so it is when we offer ourselves to serve God. God can accomplish far more than we think possible. Nehemiah was committed to serving God. He was open to God and therefore ready to receive from God. God calls each of us to believe and to serve and to be guided by him. We're people called by God to be his people, and we're called and equipped by him for the things that he calls us to do. And Nehemiah had asked anxiously about the state of things in Jerusalem because he cared about the people there and he cared about God's reputation. He had learned that the walls were flattened, the gates burned, and that morale was at rock bottom, and he realised they were in desperate need. He was both deeply concerned for the people, but also because God was being dishonoured, as long as Jerusalem, the holy city, lay in waste. And it's important to notice that he didn't pray alone. We read that there were other servants who were praying for that success. And Nehemiah's prayer wasn't just a one-off, because at the beginning we read that he heard the bad news from Jerusalem in the month of Kislev. And then we heard in chapter 2, verse 1, that actually his prayer was answered 4 months later. So for around 4 months, Nehemiah and his friends had prayed and waited to see what would happen. We need to realise that what he was asking for was, humanly speaking, so unlikely as to be virtually impossible. for Nehemiah, the royal cupbearer, to be released from his job and dispatched to Jerusalem on a city-building mission would be an unprecedented miracle. Although Nehemiah was evidently a trusted man and one whom the king liked, he was in fact no more than a high-class slave. His role in tasting the king's wine before the king drank it was a key role, and slaves had no holidays. There would have seemed no possibility of Nehemiah being free to go to Jerusalem. And yet the group of people who prayed with him felt that this was the right request to make. And so they prayed steadily for several months and didn't give up. And then out of the blue, one day, an opening comes. And we don't know if Nehemiah had planned his sad face, hoping the king would inquire why, or whether his sad face was unconscious and involuntary. But we do know that palace etiquette was that servants had to look happy when they were with the king. So it would have been a risky move if he'd planned it. But it seems more likely that Nehemiah had no idea that he was going around with a sad face. So he was very surprised when the king noticed and questioned him about it. But in retrospect, he must have seen the whole episode as an amazing answer to his prayers. He had asked for something seemingly impossible, and it had happened. He'd not dared to mention the thing that was on his heart, but the king had brought it up and had then given him leave from being a cupbearer for as long as he wanted. And what's more, he promised him safe conduct and orders for the raw materials that he would need as well as a house to live in, and all that for a slave. It was so amazing that Nehemiah knew beyond any shadow of doubt that God was sending him to Jerusalem and that God would be with him in the hazards that lay ahead. Nehemiah was open to God in prayer, and he and his friends had experienced God's promptings, and so they kept praying. We know that there are lots of steps ahead for us as we seek to live out our vision, and particularly as we start to take steps towards setting up Growing Hope in High Wycombe. We need to find trustees from across different churches. We need to set up a trust that can then raise enough money to employ a therapist who can start working with the children and families with additional needs in our community. And it feels like a big task. But already we have had encouragements. We've had the encouragements of words from the people who came to pray with us. We've had promises of donations towards that starting amount that we have to raise as a church. We've had that recent legacy that enables us to do work on our buildings, which frees up some of those funds from our church to be able to help with this as well. So let's continue to be open in prayer as Nehemiah was. Let's become men and women of prayer as we start out on this venture together as a church community. Let's encourage one another, and let's do this both for our community and also to bring honour to God in our building. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you so much for the example of Nehemiah, someone who dared greatly and stepped out in what he felt that you were calling him to, but someone who prayed before and throughout the process. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to dare greatly for you, but also to commit to praying regularly as we step out into this vision that you have set before us as a church. Amen.
Amen.